if I might add to that, and in every description that you have said, Mark, or anything that will be added, even in the matter of the sermon that Brother Bell have brought, it's a priest. It's a priest. It's a person who is in the presence of God. That's really, really important in any function. You are in, out, in first, in the presence of God, to get the clear mind of God before you go out to do anything. That's why it is a priest, a teaching priest. It's not a teacher. It's a teaching priest. It's a person who went into the presence of God to seek the mind of God of what indeed is needed, so one could speak as the oracle of God. Otherwise, anyone could just speak. It's speaking as the oracle of God. It's a mark of a priest, a teaching priest who was in the presence of God to be able distinctly to explain the word of God. So it is not just a matter of reading a commentary or a book and come out and just spit out a sermon. That doesn't take us anywhere. And we need to be very conscious of that. Yeah. It is being in the presence of God to know what is the word for the moment, not to fill the time. Mm-hmm. To know what is the word for the moment, we need to be in the presence of God. That is harder than just reading a book and come out and just rehearse that. Mm-hmm. It's important to read and to prepare. I'm not knocking that down. That's vital. It's important. But yet, it has to accompany with being in the presence of God to be a teaching priest. Can I bring another aspect of a priest that is not mentioned there? And that is a warrior priest. A warrior priest, and I want to bring Phinehas in two aspects. The first aspect of a warrior priest, when he was young and he stood for the holiness of God. When the children of Israel were mixing up with the Midianite in the book of Numbers, I think, 23 or 24, maybe 25. It's in that area when Balaam was trying to curse the people of God and couldn't, so he kind of devised this idea of, you know, attack the holiness of God by having them mixing with the world. And the thing that really impresses me, it was a young one who stood up for the holiness of God, not an older one. We usually have this idea, well, the young ones, it was a young priest who stood for the holiness of God and dealt with it as a young priest. So a warrior priest is the priest that defend the matter of holiness of God. I think throughout the day today we were speaking about the importance, because it takes character from God to be a holy priesthood. It was there to defend the holiness of God in the book of Numbers from Phinehas, a young priest. He was so concerned about the holiness of God. It's important for all of us, young ones especially, to kind of think about the holiness of God and defend it. The other thing about him, it's in Numbers also, maybe 31 or so, when the children of Israel went to fight against the Midianite. And it said there, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, was the holy instrument with him. So going into warfare, we're carrying with us holy instrument. It reminds me of Ephesians chapter 6. Our warfare is not with flesh and blood. So as we are even fighting, we are fighting as a priest. Again, it is the whole idea that in every function, it is undergirded all the time with the idea that we are in the presence of God. How are we going to fight against principalities and power and lordship in the heavenly places? We need to be in the presence of God. We need to mark the captain of our salvation. And as a result of that, we will be able to bring victory. So another function of a priest is also, not only just as we heard, an offerer priest, a priest that offer, a teaching priest, a priest that teach, but also a warrior priest, a priest that goes into war for to guard the holiness of God and defend the inheritance.
So just to add to that aspect, there's also another aspect. The priest is a separated priest. Separation. Because if you look in Hebrews chapter 3, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of heavenly calling. First of all, the priest, as a priest, we ought to know and recognize that our calling is heavenly. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Our profession is not Judaism, it is Christianity. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 13, let us go forth therefore unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. First, we have a calling, heavenly calling. Secondly, because we have a heavenly calling, the Lord Jesus Christ is calling. outside the camp, outside of Judaism or Christendom today. And therefore, our place as a priest, believer priest, our place is outside all the systems of men and gathered to the name of Christ. And that is where we exercise our priestly priesthood. Now, positionally, all believers, wherever they are in Christendom, they're all priests, all true believers, and they are in the presence of God. They can make supplications, they can give thanks to God. All these things we have listed here can be done. But it is in the right place as priests gathered to the high priest, and Christ is in the midst of the assembly. And there is a true, we have the exercise of priesthood, and this truth we have. And also in 1 Peter chapter 1 we read today, chapter 2, to whom coming as living stones. So the priests again are called outside of all the systems of this world to come to Christ and bearing the reproach of Christ. So we have separated priests.
Something that just, a thought that just comes to me together is on the outline when we looked at Romans 12, going back to matching up with what we have in the Old Testament. Before you get to Romans 12, 1, you have to go through Romans 1 all the way to Romans 8 and so on. And based upon that truth, then we get to Romans 12. And also here in Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then we talk about teaching and admonishing one another. I see a connection there in that before we can actually, as I said, get to Romans 12, we have to imbibe the truth that's there in Romans 1 to 12 before we can do what Romans 12, 1 says we should do. And the same thing applies here, I think, in chapter 3. We have to let the word of Christ dwell in us first. I think we're saying the same thing. Let the word of Christ dwell in us first before we can, in richly in all wisdom, then we can teach and admonish. But we can't be doing that until we are in His presence, getting that truth imbibed in our own hearts.
That comes out in Malachi as well. Malachi 2, this last message in the Old Testament to, a big part of it, to the priests. It says in verse 4, maybe verse 5, it says, my covenant with him was of life and peace. And I gave them to him that he might fear. And he feared me and trembled before my name, is Levi. The law of truth was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and at his mouth they seek the law. For he is the messenger of Jehovah of hosts. But then the contrast is, but ye are departed out of the way, and ye have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So we can be priests and misuse our priesthood. Mm-hmm. And so we I think like you said, Sam, we need to be allowing that truth of the Word of God to affect our lives first, so that we don't misuse what we've been given and start to abuse the people of God. Yeah. And that, we can't say that doesn't happen. It happens all the time. Yeah. And even there's certain systems of Christendom that have turned this idea of priesthood into a matter of power and use it as a tool and as a rod to control the masses. And the Lord said he hates it. It's the deeds of the Nicolaitans. The Lord says, I hate this. Mm. The deeds and the doctrine. So we need to be careful that we don't form these very things. That's the danger.